The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
For over 10 years, and almost 500 episodes, the NAWC, always on.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wrestling world, I'm going to use somebody else's catchphrase. Are you ready? No, internet, I am asking, are you ready? As we are actually recording this on the eve of the 20th anniversary of the formation of D-Generation X. And unfortunately, that makes me China, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, I have a few degenerates of my own.
Hey! That's not...
You're a New Yorker. You're a degenerate by default. Jason Block, ladies and gentlemen.
And I am back from the city of degenerates, which is Las Vegas, and we had an absolute blast. A bunch of us raised a ton of money for children's hospitals around the country. We've raised about $6,700 and counting, blowing away our count by what we thought was going to be $4,200. And it was an absolute blast, and you got to do it. And if I may, Nikki, introduce the other member of our panel who was also with me. And that would be the chair-swinging, pie-gal gambling, MGM Grand Buffet-eating freak known as Mr. Brian Henniger. How are you, sir?
I am doing just absolutely wonderful. And Jason, if I may ask you, as that dealer was wondering, how's that Twitch of yours going?
That Twitch, yeah. Yeah, that's...
we'll tell you that story off microphone, but honestly, I am so happy to be here. We took part in an amazing event, Ticona 2017. Raised, we did more than 50% better than we did last year. Spent so much time with so many great people. Jason taught me how to play Pie Gal. I broke even gambling, which I'm very happy about, and it was truly awesome.
So, you know, I'm glad you guys had a blast. My turn is next week.
Ah, that is right, because, yes, you're going to Gen Con. You lucky so-and-so.
And not just any Gen Con.
50. Gen Con 50.
Yeah, I feel damn old too, because I remember in the back of my first edition books, there was an ad for Gen Con.
Speaking of first edition, there was actually a trivia question during Quiz Bowl, which I nailed early on Gary Gygax. So
nice.
Right, Brian, I believe that was in the first round that I nailed a question about that. So
nice. But this is not about video games. Well, it could be. This is not about gambling. This is not about role-playing games. But it could be. This is about wrestling. And this was indeed a slow week outside of the ring. But inside of the ring, we've had a lot of moving and shaking because as of right now, the SummerSlam card has 12 matches.
11 official, one about to be.
Yeah, one will be made official. Now, even though this is a 4-hour show, that's a lot of matches.
And especially if, well, I mean, one match is going to go no longer than 10 or 15 because, hey, Brock doesn't work that long. sorry.
That's fine. It's a fatal four-way. He can go sit somewhere for a few minutes while Joe and
whatever his name is.
Strowman.
Yeah.
All take turns beating the crap out of each other. Then Lesnar gets in the ring, and this better not happen. Suplex, 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 retain. No. Bad.
Now, I have to ask, because I was away for this, okay? Mm-hmm. The big thing that came out of the week before was the stipulation that if Brock loses, he and Heyman go away.
Yes.
Now, that, to me, is either one of two things. A, the UFC deal is done and we don't know about it yet. Or it's a negotiating ploy, one of the two. Or it could be a little of column A or a little of column B. What do you think it is? Or what did you guys say it was?
We were more speculating that it was, you know, if he wants to go back to UFC, great. If not, he's pretty much made his money. He does not have to work another day in his life.
As Jim Cornette puts it, he can go back to his farm and shoot at defenseless animals.
Pretty much. Or as Brock has said at one time, I'm going to go home, shoot elk, and bang my wife.
Yeah.
Which I think he does in equal measures.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. Brain bleach.
Yeah, exactly.
Brain bleach. I have got a horrible image in my head, and I will not explain it to you guys because you do not deserve this.
But I will say that the four-way main event has been one of the best booked matches. The build to it has been very good because you can say every one of the people involved has a legitimate shot of winning the belt. Nobody is like one of these things is not like the other, you know, like a fourth wheel. I mean, Roman kinda, if you really want to put it that way.
Yes and no, and I'll repeat my joke from last week about the fact that he is the smallest dog in the fight.
Yes. Yeah, he's the little chihuahua in a bunch of German shepherds, Roman Reigns is, okay?
I mean, this is the Elroy Jetson dressed as Roman situation.
Yes, absolutely. But to me, it comes down to what I think has to happen is that the belt has to come off of Lesnar. And by the way, I love the shooty shoot comments last week. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That Heyman had. Now, who do you put it on? Do you put it on Reigns and, you know, same old, same old, same old
no,
shit?
No, I'm gonna expand the question. Who do you want to have the belt, but who do you think WWE is going to do?
Wow. Who do I want to have the belt? Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe deserves to have the belt around his waist. For many reasons, including another fuck you, Dixie, so to speak, okay? But I believe that the WWE, I think Vince has got his dick hard for Braun Strowman because he's 7 foot tall, a monster, and acts like it. And
is getting a huge reaction.
Yes. And that's what I believe. I think it's Strowman.
Okay. Brian, what do you think?
I look at it like this. I would love to see them put the belt on Samoa Joe as well. I think that Joe is the whole package. He's got an amazing promo, an amazing look. He can work circles around a lot of the guys. He is the El Capo de Tutti Capi right now in the universal title picture, in my opinion. And here's the thing. WWE is seeing that as well because they're giving Joe a lot of space. He's getting a lot of opportunities that, you know, I didn't think a former TNA star was going to get. And I think it would be truly awesome for him to get that opportunity. And I think, and I honestly think that he is a guy that the fans are popping for. And I think they'll give him the chance. I think he is going to become the champion. I really think he will be.
I see. I'm in the same boat. Joe has been to the top of the mountain, granted, in other federations. So this isn't his first rodeo. Strowman's got the crowd in the middle of his giant hands. But I don't know if Vince is ready to pull the trigger on that yet, which is a shame. Strowman, for all intents and purposes, this is his test title match. And if he wins on his test title match, awesome. If not, that's okay too. I'm worried that WWE is going to stick to their guns and put the belt back on Roman. However, they have an out. And I call it a segue.
Ooh, okay. Go ahead.
Because if Roman doesn't end up with the belt, he's got something to do. He's got two boys that are too busy trying to figure out if they can trust each other.
Bingo! Bingo, bingo, bingo. Because you are I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder on this.
But no.
Because you're absolutely right. If the only way Roman will get his feet back in a good way is if he and what's his face, Dean and Seth get back together and we have the Shield 2.0. Because that was the only time Roman was legitimately over.
I respectfully disagree, but
okay, that's fine.
I respectfully disagree because I remember the pop at Rumble 2014. He should have dumped Batista.
Yeah, well, okay, yes, but again, that was the big mistake. You see,
that's pretty much where it all went wrong. But yes, Roman could foster some goodwill. And we could actually continue this tease all the way to Survivor Series in the fact that Dean, despite the fact, for continuity's sake, despite the fact that Dean got his revenge, despite the fact that Rollins has rebelled against the authority and defeated Triple H at WrestleMania,
yep,
Mr. Chaotic Neutral isn't going to quite say, okay, yeah, let's do this again with a guy he saw stab a brother in the back. Because Dean's tighter with Roman than he ever was with Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once Rollins wins over Dean, now you've got an even harder head to crack through.
Because we all know Samoan's heads are always hard.
Yes. And you try to get it through Roman's head, because Roman will be watching his back even harder. Because he was the one who took the chair shot.
Right.
As the old expression goes, he'll be sleeping with one eye open.
Yep. And any misstep will make him back up a little bit. And I do enjoy how Rollins is playing this, where he's like, what the hell do I have to do? You know, he should bring all this history up. Dude, you cashed in on me. You chased me, from one side of the arena and back when I had the Money in the Bank briefcase. The only reason you didn't stop me at 31 was because you got hurt in the ladder match, which of course will piss Dean off. You know, I've slayed the king. I've got Triple H out of the picture. We don't have to worry about him now. Let's go out there and kick some ass and win some titles. And Dean's still, nope.
Dean's a stubborn guy. Yeah.
Dean's chaotic neutral works very well here. This is something that, you know, he'll decide. And he did decide. But then Rollins said no.
The plot. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry.
The plot thickens. I was very happy to see that to a point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is like all of the DX teases in spring and summer of 2006.
Which we'll get to later.
I will get back to that. So, but there's talk that Dean and Seth will have a tentative relationship going into a tag title match against Sheamus and Cesaro, who are thick as thieves.
Yes. Not only are they the bar, they raise the bar, and they drink at the bar, you know?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. You know, it was a bar fight that got them together. It's, you know, it's only fair. And one of these days, that fusion dance is going to go off. Be careful, boys.
Exactly.
So, you know, that would be a whole lot of fun because, you know, who else in the Raw tag division is even poking at Sheamus and Cesaro, because the club hasn't been doing anything.
The Revival got hurt again.
Yeah. Who else, you know. There's a lot of matches on this card. I've got to say, the winners are the fans.
That's true. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Brian, okay. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm just listening in, guys.
Okay.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure. No, because I had to re-plug in something. Sorry.
No, you're fine. We have, you know, granted, you know, I think just about every belt being defended? It looks like it.
Let's see. Cruiser, two tags. An IC is not.
There's a huge question mark over the Miz Jason Jordan deal. So I wonder if somebody got cold feet with the Jason Jordan is Kurt Angle's son storyline.
Or maybe someone finally realized just how stupid this sounds.
That too.
I like it.
You're the one.
I admit, I'm probably the only one, but I think, you know, we have been calling him that for months on this show, and it finally happens, and now you guys are like, yeah?
Well, again,
it's just the fact that I'm not going to say it.
No, you can say it.
The fact that, to be perfectly honest with you, he and Kurt Angle are not. There's a difference in melatonin amount. In melanin amounts from both men.
And yes, there is a difference in melatonin amounts because Jason Jordan's a great wrestler, but he's not a very good promo yet.
Exactly.
And to be honest, I'm okay with this because I joke about kayfabe family all the time. So I'm okay with it. I just hope that doesn't leave Miz and or Jason Jordan out in the cold because they, you know, Miz deserves a SummerSlam paycheck. Jason Jordan, I think, should still get one.
But what about the Hardys? Are they still negotiating? And hopefully things will be delightful, you know? Or I don't know.
The story that I'm hearing, and I've read this on several websites, is that the WWE has decided to stop negotiating for ownership of the broken universe.
I think they're going to try to derive their own version of it. Because
yeah,
Nordholm's holding the gimmick for ransom, and essentially, you know, and Vince is not going to pay him anything. And he could look at the Hardys and say, okay, let's build something similar.
Let's call them Shattered.
Or Altered, I think, is the other one that I've heard.
I've heard some people say they want to use the phrase awoken.
That's the one, not altered. It was awoken.
Awoken. Interesting. Okay. I like
so
that.
And a lot of the stuff that happens in the gimmick, they can't go after as IP. There's a lot of stuff in it that you can't trademark.
Let's just hope they have a place in there for Senior Benjamin.
And he didn't sign anything, so Norholm doesn't have a leg to stand on. So, let me get my match. Get the match list back up and.
AVRM. He's not there yet. He's still in the server room right now.
Oh, good lord. Okay.
Well, good. Maybe you can have him go to the server room and grab me a new power supply for my computer.
We can't spare that kind of equipment, man.
All right. What's this? What's this kind of power supply?
Oh, there we are.
He wants to take a power supply out of the server room and use it for his personal computer.
Everything is modular. It won't work.
Okay.
I don't have any PC.
You're lucky I don't know what you mean, or else I might be upset about that.
Suffice to say, server power supplies and PC power supplies are not equivalent. All right?
So,
all right.
Anyway, what's this big shiny thing that I still have after another month?
Wanted to talk to VRM about something?
Well, actually, I was just gonna bring him into the conversation. Hey, the Hardys might not break, but they might wake.
I've seen some of the promos, and Matt is really skirting the line with everything. And but you said the line was awoken.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard Shattered, we've heard two or three other things, and it's essentially, you know, Vince can wait them out, Nordholm can go fuck himself, and a universe can be built similar enough to the Broken Universe that even if Nordholm wants to try an IP life lawsuit, he's going to be laughed out of court. In fact, I freaking dare Nordholm to go find a lawyer and put him up against McDevitt.
That's bringing a knife to a tank fight.
Exactly. And I would pay WrestleMania money to watch.
I'd pay WrestleMania money to be a fly on the wall in that courtroom.
Yeah.
Listen, even if you were in the ride, would you want to face Jerry the Pitbull McDevitt? I ask you.
No!
Hell no. I know an IP lawyer in another state, but I wouldn't sacrifice him over it.
It's just insane. Couple of other things on the Raw side, actually, since we're on there. Big Show is finally getting big cast, and Enzo Amore is going to be suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Poor Enzo, man. He's shooting himself in the foot all day. Seriously.
He is.
Jim Cornette says hi.
But they really need to want to sell these playsets, don't they?
Well, there's that, and they learned from WCW to not put the word big on the line. So they're gonna put Enzo someplace where he can't hurt himself, maybe. And
by the way, have I ever told you my favorite shark cage wrestling story?
Do tell.
You guys remember back years ago when they did this Being thing on Raw where they hung Jerry Lawler above the ring in a shark cage?
I think so. How far back are we talking?
Isn't that like 95?
95. Yeah, 95. Okay. Well, there was this one thing. Apparently the story goes that Jerry Lawler decided to play a rib on live TV on Vince McMahon. he had never told Vince McMahon that he has a deviated septum from where he has had his nose broken a couple of times. So if you work that thing well enough, you can give yourself a nosebleed. So they have Lawler mic'd. You can hear me going, he's telling, guys, it's too high. I'm getting lightheaded. I think I'm getting the nosebleed. And Vince is laughing, ha, ha, ha. Oh, come on, calm down, Jerry, calm down. Then Jerry works his nose, he starts to bleed, and you see blood coming out of his nose. He says, I got a nosebleed, Vince! Get me down from here! And then Vince, who knows nothing about those, looks up, sees a nosebleed, he goes, oh, my God, well, just calm down there, Jerry, calm down!
And given the level, apparently, of backstage heat Enzo has, people are hoping that that shark cage is going to have a real shark in it.
Yeah.
But, Enzo can be up there ranting and raving and dancing and doing whatever while hopefully Big Show and Big Cass put on another mat wrestling match for us.
That would be nice.
I would love to see, I love seeing Giants mat wrestle.
Big Show and Kane have done it.
Big Show, Strowman.
That was insane. When Big Show and Strowman mat wrestled, my dad, the esteemed Mr. Block, my buddy Joe, and I literally were like, what's he doing? Strowman did a kip up, okay? He did a kip up.
The man is 385 pounds and he can do a kip up. Mommy, I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, it's always amazing to see, people don't realize how athletic those big guys are. Somebody told me a story that when he was first starting out, Andre the Giant, he could do a drop kick.
I think I've actually seen him do a drop kick.
I know I've seen the Big Show do a drop kick.
Mm-hmm. And Big Cass, I mean, being the smallest out of the three Giants we've got here, can do quite a bit. Like I said, he reminds me of late 90s, early 2000s Test.
Yes.
So, we know he's going places. What else we got going on Raw-wise?
Excuse me, we have the Battle of the Supernatural.
Yes, this match I'm looking forward to. I don't care. You guys know that I love all the spooky, crazy crap.
No, I'm okay with this. I'm all right with this.
As I joked last week, the fact that that Finn Balor teleported without having transformed into a demon means he gained a couple of levels while he was out rehabbing his shoulder. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but like I said, he looked a little uncomfortable that he did that, as if, I shouldn't do that. That could be troublesome.
The Undertaker goes, who in the hell do you think you are? You know?
With all due respect, sir, you're retired.
Mm-hmm.
You can tape your fists, but I can teleport too. But, Finn hasn't talked about it. But I will be very disappointed if he doesn't show up as the demon. I know this is, the two of them's first pay-per-view encounter, but can I has demon?
It's SummerSlam. It's a big four. You'll probably get the demon.
I hope so. I really do. And it's in Brooklyn. So what kind of cosplay should he put on top of the demon makeup there, Jason?
I have no idea, but it's got to be good because, as we're not getting pyro, we might as well get some cosplay,
I have an idea.
Okay.
Have him be one of the baseball furies from the Warriors.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Bingo. Very nice. Yes. Exactly.
And then once he gets in the ring, have him put on the three Coke bottles and go clink, clink, clink.
Wyatt, come out to play.
The sad thing is, though, that'd be, you know, the clinking of the bottles thing is something more Wyatt would do. Demon King, I summon you. Come out and play.
Clink, clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
And one more thing we can talk about. And poor Bailey. That's all I have to say.
Oh, man.
Okay, first you beat her all the way down. You beat her to the bottom of the women's division. Then you change your mind, and she gets hurt.
And Toronto booed her out of the building, too.
Bizarro world. I'm going to dismiss that.
Okay.
I don't think they were booing Bailey. I think they were booing the situation.
Okay.
They were having, but then again, they were also having way too much fun. No, that was on SmackDown. Shane had nothing to do with Montreal. Anyway. And would that be considered a segue?
Well, no, because we need to talk about what's happening. Because we had two triple threat matches this week to determine who would be in the finals this coming week in a contenders match for Alexa Bliss. It's either going to be Sasha or Team Rude member, you know, because that's their hashtag on the Instagram, Nia Jax. Now, I'm going to ask you, Brian, and you, Nikki, what would make a better story?
I would – the story I want to tell – the story I think they should tell is to go ahead and give Nia her test title match, because this way we can weave the Bailey narrative into it. Or Nia just goes up to Alexa and says, "I got rid of Bailey for you. Is that enough for me to have my title match?"
Yeah, and this is the thanks. And this is the thanks I get. You better give me a title match.
Well, yeah. If she beats Sasha, and Sasha's 5 foot nothing and weighs 100-something pounds with a rock in her pocket, so while Sasha is the more technically sound of the two, Sasha's the better wrestler. But I don't think I had to say that out loud. Nia Jax would be the better story as we go ahead and start looking into the deal that these guys made about a month or two ago, that Nia was Alexa's on and off bodyguard. And, you know, accident on purpose, whatever, you know, for real, it was an accident. I mentioned this on last week's show. When I was at one of Jimmy's shows in Cincinnati and Rosie was working it, I miss you, Matt, and he landed on somebody's shoulder wrong and popped it out of socket. So the guy ended up in the hospital. Thankfully, it was only a dislocated shoulder. I think this was the same situation when Nia landed on Bailey. So, that would be the better story to me. If you want to play Sasha's, Sasha wins the belt because everybody becomes everybody's hero. And if, you know, I don't know how long Bailey's going to be out, but when she gets back, first thing Sasha does is ignore Bailey. So, VRM, what's the better story?
How long is Bailey out for?
if it's a separated shoulder, it's going to she's going to be out for a couple of months.
Rumble into Mania program. I go with Sasha.
Okay. But you're talking down the line. We're talking immediate plan.
Mm.
If it's me, okay, I'm sorry. You guys go ahead.
You need a minute?
I go with Sasha.
Okay.
And I start throwing challengers at her. Heel challengers to start. Nia. Who else we have on Raw right now that's heel challengers? But yeah, I start throwing heel challengers at her with the title, and as she wins and wins, she starts getting the arrogance or starts using less than stellar means to retain. Mm-hmm. Bailey comes back, Rumble time frame, and wants a title match, and Sasha's too busy starting to get arrogant and whatnot and everything. And then eventually Bailey wins a match, wins a number one contenders match for, I don't know which one's going to be the Raw exclusive, but use that to build the, to go with the full heel turn. Mm-hmm. And then that opens up a match for Mania there between the two.
That could work.
But that's, of course, down the line.
Right. But, you know, like I said, for right now, I would like it to, you know, if they've kind of half forgotten the whole Nia Jax is Alexa's bodyguard thing, and I this would be a good time to resurrect it. Because Alexa will be, excuse me, very uncomfortable in the fact that she's even smaller than Sasha. And that Nia Jax, kayfabe-wise, could stuff her in a sandwich and eat her.
Very much so, actually.
So I think that covers all the Raw stuff.
Yep, and now we move over to the blue side. The blue side's going to be fun, too.
The blue side's got quite a pile of stuff going on, and just for a comment, get over it, Montreal. Seriously, Shane had nothing to do with the Bret Hart stuff.
Just because Kevin Owens brought it up.
I think he should have looked around and said, "Who's your daddy, Montreal?"
And let me just tell you something. Kevin Owens was in full-on dick mode. I mean, he was in Canada. He was screwing around with AJ and Shane. It was glorious. It was awesome.
A Canadian getting booed in Canada. We have truly found Bizarro World, or Kevin Owens is just that freaking good.
He's that freaking good.
He's the only heel right now who actually knows and acts like he's a heel.
Almost have to give you that. Or he knows he's a heel and he just doesn't care. You were going to say, Brian?
No, I wasn't going to say anything else.
Okay. But yeah, SmackDown is doing their best to match, if not improve on, what Raw is offering. And I'll go ahead and start with AJ Owens, because the winners of that match are the fans. That's just going to be a whole lot of fun. And if Shane's going to be the special guest referee.
That's correct. Yes.
And AJ accidentally Pele, was it Pele kicking or he did something? He hit Shane. which prompted a "You screwed Shane" chant. Okay, Montreal, that's better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Kevin Owen was in full shit storing mode, and he had the video clips to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
fries are up.
But it was because he was like, he was showing how AJ beat up Shane to try to get his WrestleMania match and other stuff. It was glorious. It was beautiful.
Wrong show. Oh, wait. You said glorious. I was just like, wrong show.
Yeah, I know.
But so this week we got that little seed of doubt. But to be honest, you know, Kevin Owens did an okay job of pulling up all that history, to which AJ or Shane should have just looked at Kevin and said, "Hey, we sorted that out at WrestleMania." And didn't you lose at WrestleMania? But we need to try to keep this so that Shane is actually going to call it down the middle, but he's a McMahon. I don't care if he inherited all the face genes. He can be just as vindictive as his father. Let's see. What else we got on here? Speaking of USA. Where'd that match go? I saw Rusev's name on this list.
It's on number... Where are you? Where is he here? Number 7.
Ah, here we go. Randy Orton versus Rusev. I don't need Randy Orton representing the United States. You baby oil soaked AWOLer.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is again a forced.
It's a forced feud. It was a switch feud to get Orton away from Mahal.
Yes.
And segue. Put somebody who actually knows how to wrestle up against the current champion, and IWC, shut the fuck up. You wanted new faces in the title picture. Boom.
No, they want their preferred new faces in the title picture, you see.
Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura's challenging Jinder Mahal.
There you go.
So, IWC...
They just don't want Jinder Mahal in there because he's got muscles and he's not a cruiserweight. He's part of what's wrong with wrestling.
Given how much more he has added to his character, and I bring this up because I was looking up, I went and looked up a couple of Raws from 2012 when he was doing the Maharaja gimmick, but he wasn't as intense and as hateful as he's doing with his current character, which is actually what's making this work. The improved level of disdain on his face and in his promos, both in English and in Punjabi, and I wish I spoke a little Punjabi to see if he's actually cussing. And we have two guys, you know, we have Jinder Mahal, who may not have earned it, but he's killing it as a champion.
As he should be. He is so talented at playing that role, and he is so good at it.
And people are like, "Oh, he sucks." Well, that's because you're booing him. That means he's doing his job right. And we have Shinsuke Nakamura, who everybody has been bemoaning that he hasn't been used right. Whoever's got the second job tonight, really?
Appreciate it. Thank you. I always hate how strong this mic is sometimes. And blame Carl.
Hey, well, while you're at the fire later, get me an order of onion rings.
I'm hungry. Well, stop that.
Well, also, that's the new Facebook tone that they just arbitrarily gave me. And that was Carl asking for more people on the Fantasy League. But that's neither here nor there.
All of you take pony names, anyway.
Yeah, I've been doing that for the last... How many years?
At least since 2013.
But yeah, Mahal has been absolutely blowing it away. He's been great. He's been fantastic. Too bad he's going to be a transition. He's going to not only is he going to lose the belt to Nakamura, Corbin's going to cash in after he loses to John Cena.
Potentially.
Potentially, allegedly, thinking my...
Potentially, allegedly, and I really have nothing to say about the John Cena versus Baron Corbin match because this is another forced one.
Yes. Yep.
I'm going to go to something that I actually want to talk about.
Ooh, are we talking the ladies?
Actually, yeah, I think I will. Because you guys all know that I've been a huge Naomi fan since the NXT Women's competition when she was first featured. I know I've ranted a couple of times on this show when she was a Funkadactyl that she was being wasted. Now we finally have her at the top of the mountain, and another favorite of mine, somebody who has also been abused character-wise for
hashtag
a number.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know, but hashtag farting natty. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So Natalia is finally going to get her shot at the women's championship. So we're actually going to get some really, really cool women's wrestling out of it. I'm worried that Carmella's going to pull the trigger while she's an excellent heel. I'm not ready for it yet. Can you wait just a little bit longer, Carmella? I mean, you finally got your turtle. I mean, your boyfriend back.
It's slow and steady. Seriously. Yes, exactly.
A wild Ellsworth appears.
He uses cheat. It's super effective. And, of course, Montreal gave him a huge pop for coming back. Actually, they were chanting for him. They pulled out the old school Goldberg chant for him. I heard "We want Ellsworth." I heard a couple of other things, so I'm kind of glad he's back, but I'm also nervous because if he's back, that means Carmella is going to be a little bolder about that briefcase. Not yet, dear. Not yet. Give it time. Let it breathe. Mm-hmm. So, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about anybody else.
I actually think the build to the card as a whole has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that certain matches have been getting the importance that it deserves, the four-way, the U.S. title, and others. And even the mid-card matches are pretty good. So...
Hell, we even got a story going to the Cruiserweight title.
Yes. The Titus brand, Titus O'Neil, the Titus brand is finally getting over. It's taken a while, but it's gotten over.
It's taken hold. That's a good thing.
And it's, you know, it's adding some other thing, you know, it's adding stuff to the story, to this storyline with Akira just so hard-headed and determined to go chasing after Neville, who is casually sitting on his throne, the king of the dwarves, with his belt around his waist.
Meanwhile, all the ringside pundits are all sitting around, stroking their beards and saying, "What's to be done with this Adrian Neville?"
We'll bring this man from a far foreign land. Unfortunately, we'll have to pay Titus O'Neil a ridiculous sum of money for his use.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Because Titus Brand don't come cheap.
Nope.
You got to pay millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
And apparently he hasn't been able to get jack squat for Apollo Crews, so...
Yeah, exactly.
But I sense a breakup in their future.
I think Crews is gonna step away, but then what? What do you do with him? Because yes, he's athletic. Yes, his smile lights up a room. But who is this guy? As the IWC runs me over with that Uha Nation. That's great. That's great, but it's not translating. It's not translating. I want to know what's going on. Although, Titus, if you know, I realize you're most, you know, your client. I realize that your client is a Raw superstar. But if you're sneaky enough at a co-brand pay-per-view, you ought to take Apollo, go over to Shane and say, hey, you got this really talented wrestler named Chad Gable who needs something to do. I don't care if it's a throwaway match. I'd watch this. But I think the focus is going to continue to be Tozawa. Is he healthy enough? Is he ready to take that belt off of Neville? I'm in no hurry to see Neville lose the belt, personally.
No. He may hold it as long as what's-her-face, Asuka, is holding the women's belt on NXT.
Yeah. And the trick is, though, when it is finally time for Neville to drop the belt, who do you give it to? Because even though he's gone, you know, he's no longer with the company, I'm still surprised that they didn't give it to Aries. I would like to see it on Tozawa. That would fully justify the Titus brand. And a kingdom versus a corporation kind of sounds like a nice little war. Where do I sign?
But there's a couple of anniversaries that there's three different anniversaries at the moment right now that we can talk about, actually. One I think you should talk about first.
Yes. August 11th is the 20th anniversary of the formation of D-Generation X. And I'm guessing as a present to the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, and to Sean, a whole bunch of the superstars got DX shirts and did the poses and the song and the whole nine yards. This includes Sasha and Bayley. This was shot before Bayley got hurt. The Fashion Police, The New Day.
Jason Jordan, I believe.
Jason yeah. Jordan did a couple of poses, and I'm guessing at least half the roster got involved.
But there's an important question to ask.
What's that?
Did Shawn Michaels super kick Ty Dillinger again?
Stop that.
You know what?
I don't know if y'all out there know this, and I'm going to cut you off, but you remember the famous I just kicked Stan vignette?
Oh, yeah, well, that's...
You're late to the party on that one.
Seriously. We know about that because Stat Boy brought it up a while back. I had to go back and watch. Because I'm also a fan of some dude named Sean Spears. But I'll tell you what, if you want a modern equivalent, I would pay more than $9.99 to see Tyler Breeze kick Ty Dillinger in the face. Have them find some way to reenact the "I just kicked Stan" thing with the fashion police.
Just tell me to calm down.
Can you see this though? Breezy, calm down. Don't tell me to calm down. This whole conspiracy thing, kicked somebody with a whole bunch of papers. You know, because he has the supermodel kick. Come on. How hard is this? It writes itself.
But I have to ask, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about DX and their influence as being one of the best factions of all time. And you could talk about their peak during the Monday Night War, okay? The most infamous stunt that they ever pulled was trying to go over to the scope during a Nitro taping.
Yeah.
In a frickin' tank. Okay.
No, a Jeep. with a 50 cal mounted on it. But
yeah.
And the Jeep with a 50 cal and a howitzer.
Yes.
Yeah. And
WCW, open the door.
Come on, let us in.
Let my people Mr. Bischoff. Let my people go.
But these are guys that one of the big things that DX did, and this might have even stemmed back to the curtain call, is the fact that these guys took the fourth wall, ripped it down.
Peed on and, it.
It pretty much hiked up a leg and peed on it. And but that's how obnoxious they were. They just decided, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to see what we can get away with.
And they got away with
it. I will say that there's a great story of that. I don't know if anyone knows about the DX invasion incident. Do you remember that part of the show, it showed them saying... you know, they put a little sign that said "free tickets available," and they had someone yelling that they got in for free.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a great story about that.
Okay.
The show actually was legitimately sold out. They went to the trouble of making a digital version of the light up of the marquee that said "free tickets available." And WCW thought it was defamation of character, so they sued WWE for lying about their sellout.
Interesting.
Really?
I did not know that. Okay, that I did not know.
Let's see if I can get
it. I read that in the Death of WCW book, which you should all own a copy of, by the way.
I have I've got two different copies of it on my Kindle. I have the updated. I have the updated one with all the lessons not learned.
Which, you know, 90% of them are TNA.
Well, that's the point. They can't write Death of TNA because it's still not dead yet. It's a shambling corpse, but it's not dead yet.
Yeah, here's I think I found actually some of the information from the Torch. WCW filed against then Titan Sports, to compete unfairly with WCW by disparaging WCW and the wrestlers who appear on its programs. Goes on to mention things like Billionaire Ted, Fake Diesel and Fake Razor, Cornette, DX. Let's see if they have anything about the North. Yeah.
Live showing research.
Here we go. Showing the Norfolk Scope Arena before live WCW Nitro haranguing customers, asking if they think Bischoff and WCW suck. Representing falsely that, WCW is offering free tickets to a, in fact, sold out show. When the free tickets available was about something that wasn't related to WCW.
Oh, okay. So they took a picture of it And they took a picture of it. The sign legit said free tickets available, but was for another event.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this was 1997-98. They didn't have the technology to be that clever.
Yeah.
No, they did not. But remember, they had the original members of DX were, of course, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Then you had Rick Rude. And then you had Billy Gunn, right?
Mm-hmm.
X-Pac. Mm-hmm. And then China. There's another little, you know.
Yeah, you forgot Road Dogg.
Yeah, Road Dogg. I'm sorry. But China. The eighth wonder of the world. Holy crap, right?
Right, and they were already having fun with that as her being the bodyguard for Triple H.
And actually, she was the ninth wonder of the world.
That's true. Correct. Andre is the eighth. And, you know, and they were just, you know, it was whatever. I really think that half the time they went to Hunter and said, you have this number of minutes, go do something funny. I really don't think any of their stuff was scripted. I'm positive that anything that Hunter and Sean did at the beginning was not scripted. They just wanted to see what they could get away with.
Now, let me ask you a serious question, though.
Mm.
It'd be the first time for me, I know, but anyway, hear me out. Wow, that joke died a death. Could you make the argument that DX was just the WWE trying to copy the New World Order?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Because the first time I saw DX get created, I thought, oh, they're just trying to do their own version of the NWO. It became something different later on, but it almost seemed like that at the beginning.
True, but you know something? It evolved. I mean, here's another incident. Remember the DX presidential speech?
Oh, yeah.
The one.
And they had the good sense to do the uncensored version.
We've all seen.
Yes, you can't.
Shit.
Dude, you shut your fucking mouth.
Watch your fucking mouth. Oh, fuck me. Because the first couple of times I saw it on YouTube, I'm like, wow, you know, that's hilarious. But the fact that they covered the mouths, I'm like, well, they might not have cussed, but these are wrestlers, so they had to have cussed. I want to hear the uncensored version.
And boy, did they.
I was not disappointed.
No. I did love, my favorite line from that whole bit was where they said, by the way, I'd like to make it known, I did not sleep with that young intern. As a matter of fact,
I was up all night. Good Lord. And they, you know, for those, what was it, 3 years? What was it, 3 years, 4 years?
They pretty much, it was, you know, from 97 to 99, you know, Sean dropped out because of his issues.
Right.
And his back. Hunter took the ball and ran with it. Got three guys who weren't necessarily doing anything. Got those three guys over. China was already over. He didn't have to do anything with her. And set the stage. Had set the stage for himself to work his way into the main, to get himself into the main event picture, because Hunter wasn't there yet. Hunter didn't win his first title till 2000.
And also used the DX to have X-Pac shoot on Eric Bischoff when he came back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. But then DX went away, and then DX came back again for DX 2.0.
And personal taste, I liked more of what they did in 2006 than a lot of the stuff they were doing in 98. What they were doing in 98 was revolutionary, and I respect that. What they were doing in 2006 was making fun of other wrestlers and making fun of themselves in the same breath.
It was metatextual, and they had the chops to pull it off.
Yes.
And they even kind of play, and my favorite segment they ever did was when they were chasing Coach all around the arena the one night, and Coach is stuck in the middle, looks over to the side, and he sees Hunter, and they play the theme of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Looks over, sees Sean, looks back, and you see a tumbleweed come in front of him. So he runs into the women's locker room, and Shawn Michaels, because he's kind of playing with his whole born-again image, he covers his eyes when he goes to look for him. He's looking for him, but he can't see him when he's looking for him.
And he's waving, and he's got one arm over, he's got one hand over his eyes, and he's like waving his other arm, trying to figure out, where is he? Where is he?
But that's the kind of stuff I mean. I mean, you know, he didn't, the two of them, yes, did some pretty mean stuff to some guys. You know, the social justice whiners would call it bullying for everything that DX did to the Spirit Squad.
Yes, but can we?
It was deserved.
Yeah, but can we go back a little bit?
Sure.
Another part of my of the thing. Remember, they were doing a DX barbecue, and Triple H was trying to get with Candice Michelle. I think it was Candice Michelle.
Yes.
And he's like, I can't do. Sean's like, I can't do this anymore. And he goes, and Triple H goes, oh, there's Mr. Fuji. And he goes, where? And then he goes off screen.
Hello, Mr. Fuji.
and then there's a blatant masturbation joke with the mustard bottle, if you remember correctly.
A whole Harry Met Sally deal, yes.
Okay. And then he comes back and he goes, that wasn't Mr. Fuji.
What I loved, do you remember when they did the, I'm sorry, no, we're just reminiscing right now. You guys remember when they did the, the toy commercials one Christmas, and how they had this running gag that the one thing that would set Shawn Michaels off was mentioning his bald spot?
Yes.
Yes, because I was at the show when they did the teddy bear commercial, where Sean was trying to get back at Hunter for all this, as he shows off the Conan the Barbarian Triple H teddy bear. And Hunter just doesn't miss a beat. And here we have our Village People edition Shawn Michaels teddy bear. And look, there's a butt in the back. You press it right here, all the hair falls out.
And then there was one where they talked about, do you remember years ago when Shawn Michaels did that photo shoot for Playgirl magazine with the title belt in a specific place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he was wearing nothing but a smile in the belt. Yes.
And Sean looks over at Hunter and goes, did you put that in there? I was young. I was stupid. You told me girls bought that magazine.
See, that's what I mean. There was just so much gold in here. And so granted, there were some callbacks to, you know, there were some callbacks to all the raunchy and crazy crap they did the first time around. But it was more fun trying to dance around it, and Hunter making him dance around it.
Exactly.
It came up in the DX book where Sean, I forget if it was his wife or a relative, comes up to Sean and she says, why do you have to act so dumb when you're working with Hunter with this DX stuff? He says, I'm pretty good at it, actually.
He is absolutely really good at it. And of course, the whole Vince loves Cox routine. And
the fact that spawned a freaking t-shirt, and I know people who bought it.
And that was a tell when they took over the production truck.
Yes. And I also have a soft spot for when they didn't steal it, but they were having fun with Vince's private jet.
Yes.
And what was so funny was the next week you have Hunter, you have Hunter's trying to read a prepared statement about it, and you see Sean underneath it with the toy plane going. And he goes, oh, it's going down! It's going down! And he acts out the whole thing. Drop the ball! Drop it! And you see Hunter looking at the camera and just goes, and Hunter just looks at the camera and just says, send help.
And of course, you know, DX fought with everybody. DX fought with the Nation back in the early days. They fought with the Legacy, you know. But I'm telling you, DX, I mean, would you call them one of the top five tag teams of all time? No. But were they a very influential faction? You bet your ass they were.
They were. You know, DX didn't have to win a tag team title. Well, of course, they kind of did because Hunter. But just all the you could see how much fun they were having. And I've said this multiple times on this show. If the talent is having fun with the gimmick, it translates. Then you're going to have fun with the gimmick. And that's kind of, you know, the New Day has caught that similar lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And
but I will also say this. Back in the Attitude Era, DX would get women to do anything for them. Okay.
As late during the 2006 reunion at a house show, they got a chick to flash them.
Really? In 06?
That's not PG.
It was at a house show, so it didn't matter.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, there were these two chicks a couple rows in front of me. This was the night pissed me off. This is the one night that my batteries run out. Not that it mattered. It was DX against Caden Murdoch and the Spirit Squad and two or three other tag teams that they were just going to destroy. But Hunter actually got up on the corner and did the lift your shirt motion. And she did.
Wow. And if I can just recall one more story, do you remember the one night that when Sean wasn't there, so Hunter calls Shawn Michaels on the phone and gets the answering machine where Sean was singing his message to Sexy Boy?
Yes.
There's a great story that, according to people who knew, Sean didn't tell Hunter he was going to do that.
So
the reaction you saw on TV was legitimately Hunter being, what the hell?
So he got who ripped who here?
And of course the meta of all metas and why Meta H is still the best Triple H. Shipping the entire Spirit Squad back to OVW.
Yeah.
just so utterly and completely and ridiculously meta.
Yeah, and I will tell you, DX, if you could put, I mean, there were very few faces that you could put on the Attitude Era. Austin, Rock, and DX, you really could say.
Yeah. And I've got Foley on that list too, but yes, DX itself was extremely influential, and Hunter has every right to have an ego about that, and Hunter has every right to flaunt that, and he has every right to crotch chop anybody who pisses him off, even in a suit. So, what other anniversaries did we have coming up here that I missed out on?
Well, I'll give you one. I'll give you the next one. This is the 15th anniversary of the – well, what was the date of this? In about 2 weeks, we're going to have the 15th anniversary of actually what is considered the best SummerSlam of all time, which is SummerSlam 02.
And again, we have Triple H and Shawn Michaels in the middle of this. The teased DX reunion – which led to one of the most amazing street fights
Yes. Went 30 minutes, 27:50.
And Hunter has gone on record. He's like, Sean didn't look like he'd missed a day.
This was his first match back after the back surgery and everything.
Yeah. And his first match back after getting his shit back together.
Yes.
And them going out and just tearing the house down. And which, yes, led to a whole bunch of other wonderful matches where the two of them feuded on and off for the next 2.5 years.
And then some guy named Brock Lesnar decided to kick The Rock's ass.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the same show.
That was mm-hmm. the same show. That and changed the landscape
mm-hmm.
of and the WWE right there.
And there's another anniversary coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah. Go ahead, VRM.
And from what I've heard, thanks to a certain channel on YouTube, that it was The Rock's idea, apparently, to put Lesnar over clean in that match.
Yes.
At that time, justified. At that time, more than justified.
Rock said in that particular thing, which I know which one you're talking about, by the way. It's an excellent series going on about that. That Rock said, if you put him over clean, you will make a new star. And boy, howdy, did they. Okay.
That's still shining right now.
Yes. Oh, to the point where his advocate is going to be the special guest with Jim Ross SummerSlam weekend at the ringside show.
Ah!
Yes.
Ah.
So.
Ooh.
And he still couldn't score you a ticket, Nikki?
Well, no, because I was already booked for Indianapolis.
Ah, yes.
Well, besides, he probably couldn't spare money after what he allegedly spent on tickets for the McGregor Mayweather fight.
Did you see that, Nikki?
No, and I why?
I call
really Uncle Paul. Why?
He's just carrying on the proud Heyman family tradition of fiscal responsibility.
300 and what for those tickets?
365,000, give or take.
Yeah, each ticket is $162,000 a piece. It's for 4A, row A.
T-Mobile
Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada.
No, you had it right the first time.
Yeah, Lost Wages.
Dude. Uncle Paul, could you have just sent me 15 grand so that I could at least have a good time at Gen Con?
Getting in the door right now, $1,600 to get in the door.
Oh, no, he didn't buy it. He just responded to it.
Yeah. Yeah, but okay. I'm just looking up. Just to get in the door right now is $1,600, and this is nosebleed.
Yeah, and those were sold on StubHub. So he didn't buy them. He just said he was just promoting the other fight. He said those tickets are for the second best super fight of the summer.
Yeah, so Floor A, Row A, 150,375. Floor seats are...
Crazy. Nikki, this is the more interesting anniversary is that we just passed the year anniversary of the second brand split.
We're a year removed from the brand split and some months removed from the Superstar Shakeup, which there's still rumors floating around that they're going to do it again after SummerSlam. I still personally think that this brand split model has been a great idea so that more people can get more time to do more stuff and get it to the general public. There's a slight imbalance right now because Raw's got way too many monsters.
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown.
But think of it like this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, right now, you know, Raw could spare a couple of those monsters. So I'm thinking that after this Fatal 4-Way that somebody, you know, one of those four is going to get sent to SmackDown. I don't know who. I doubt it'll be Roman. But it's one of those things. They've got to, you know, they've got to make some room at the top on Raw, and SmackDown needs help. The brand split has given all this time and all this room for all these guys so that, you know, a lot of people are getting used. Yes, there are a few people that have fallen by the wayside, but I'll tell you what. You can't find somebody you like on either of these shows. You're either a number three or you're picky.
True.
And here's the thing, guys. Do you honestly think that guys like Finn Balor and Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura would have main event spots if this second brand split had never happened?
No. Samoa Joe, maybe. Balor, I don't know.
Nakamura, probably not. I mean, look, I mean, Jinder Mahal. Who would have thought that Jinder effing Mahal would be a main event heel and a credible one without the brand split?
Exactly. And people are like, oh, he wasn't supposed to get that far. Well, yeah, I know about another guy who jobbed for several years and now has a world title under his belt, several intercontinental title reigns, and is respected even if he's not being used properly. Is this guy named Nick Nemeth? I mean, Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
If you told me in early 2007 that this goofy cheerleader was going to be a world champion, I'd have laughed at you. Told me in 2010 that Heath Slater would be a tag champion again, so why? Is Gabriel coming back?
Yeah, but, I mean, again, I would say overall the brand split has worked. There's been a few problems. Lesnar is Universal Champion, but we won't get into that.
That's getting fixed in 2 weeks.
Allegedly.
It better.
Well, if he wants to go back to the UFC, he can't take the belt with him.
Vince won't let him. Vince won't let him, and Lesnar will try to muscle his way to that, and Uncle Paul is going to say, look, I've been in this situation. No. Drop the belt. We walk away clean. That means we can come back if we have to.
And speaking of anniversaries, there's another anniversary coming up in about 2 or 3 weeks that I'd like to mention.
Okay.
If only for some shameless self-promotion. It'll be 2 or 3 weeks from today, that will be the one-year anniversary of when I went out to Las Vegas, Nevada to be on a TV show.
Had a blast, won some money, and where's my cut?
Well, you weren't my plus one.
You could have called me!
Well, let me ask you this. In all seriousness, did you know the answer to the $50,000 question?
What was the $50,000 question?
Okay, it was, which of these titles is shared by both a song by Duke Ellington and one of the best-selling minivans of all time? Caravan, Town and Country, Odyssey, or Sienna?
You're right, I wouldn't have been much help.
Well, I didn't know it either, and Katie, my sister thankfully talked me out of it. I was ready to go for Town and Country, but it was actually Caravan.
Okay.
And I have now heard that song about 5,000 times thanks to my friends on YouTube.
That's what happens, my good friend. That's what happens. But yeah, the brand split has done wonders for giving people room to giving room for people to shine, giving guys opportunities where they otherwise wouldn't have gotten if we were running the same story on both shows. The fact that SmackDown is live now means that when you come up, you better be freaking ready.
And also 205 was introduced during this past year, right?
And has really gotten its legs under it. I'm hearing a lot more positive things about 205. And the pacing's gotten better. The guys are finally getting some characters. Tony Nese, even though Tony Nese has got 8 very good reasons for me to watch him. I honestly thought they were going to repackage him once or twice because he just wasn't getting over. And I think somebody finally said, hey, you know that body of yours? Pretend you're Lex Luger. Don't wrestle like him, but strut and pose like him. And the light bulb went off. You know, Cedric Alexander, Rich Swann,
TJP,
Jack Gallagher is, you know, I still think is one of the most shining examples of this show. TJP, as soon as he figures out what the hell he is, adding Neville to the show. I'm waiting for them to add Kalisto to the show. I wonder if Kalisto is either saying, no, I don't want to be on that show, or we're waiting for a good time to bring you over, because if he goes, they're probably going to put the belt on him very, very quickly. And even though we haven't seen much of Gran Metalik or Lince Dorado, they're still part of that mystique. I still tune in hopes that I see them. We saw Gran Metalik recently. I want my Lince Dorado back.
And very soon we're also going to get some women involved too.
Right. I think some of the budget cuts that are going on with the network is to make sure that the Mae Young Classic is fully funded. And I am definitely looking forward to seeing what we get out of that and how many of those gals are going to get opportunities.
I know.
Lufisto didn't get called in.
Although, the more I think about it, I don't think that they would have given her a shot because she has previously had open heart surgery and they might see her health as a liability.
If she can pass wellness with a retuned heart, I'd be impressed. But dude, settle. If it makes you feel any better, start watching Ruby Riott on NXT. She's Bayley's, you know, she's Bayley's twisted little sister. Yes, I do kayfabe family. Jason Jordan is related to Kurt Angle, damn it. Anyway, so, you know, there's still so much going on, and the brand split is going to keep giving people opportunities. You know, if NXT expands to 2 hours on the network, if SmackDown Live gets a third hour, if they start doing shows strictly for women, strictly for the UK, you know, strictly for certain things, there will be a place for just about everybody. And the bar is going to be set very, very damn high. And that's how it should be when you're the number one company on the planet. Not drawing 300 people in podunk arenas and still can't figure out how to pay your people and having a grudge over guys that left 6 months ago. Yes, I said it. So, VRM, do you have anything else to add?
No.
In that case, I'm thinking about calling it a show. What do you guys think?
I think that's a good idea because, unfortunately, kayfabe really calls on some people's ends here, sadly.
I've got about 40 minutes, but yeah, you're right. Let's go ahead and box all this mess up. But before we go, we gotta sell some soap. So VRM, you got anything?
I'm sure Jason would have taken it anyway, but I know BS Big Show, we return this week.
Yes, I believe tomorrow.
Because there is preseason football in progress right now. Victor Cruz did his first salsa in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We got the referees that have been given the offer to be full time for the year.
Which is about frickin' time, if you ask me.
Not sure if there's anything other major preseason stuff.
Well, there's lots of things like he's Jay Cutler comes out.
Oh, yeah.
He comes out of retirement.
Now he's Miami's problem.
Right. Yes. Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job.
Ezekiel Elliott drama.
Yeah, the Cowboys being fined $500,000 for most of their players being suspended for at least the first four games.
Ooh, and, that must have been a good fight.
No. It's just in general for lots of other stuff. Ryan Tannehill going down for the year. Bunch of stuff we could talk about. And all that good stuff. If I may, VRM, continue on. There should be a new episode of Touch 'Em All being recorded in the next because we're going to be in full playoff mode very soon because we're about 2 to 3 weeks away from September baseball, which is the best baseball. Went to a minor league. Go ahead.
As I always say, the season starts in August.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We'll talk about all the trades and all that good stuff. Brian and I will be back with another episode of Pixel Nation with a really another crap study saying that video games cause brain damage. I don't know if you saw that. We'll be talking about another stuff. WLTI will be back with a new episode somewhat soon, hopefully. Brian and I would like to talk one more time about the amazing Home Game Enterprises crew and the 25-hour game show throwdown with an incredible bunch of people like Travis Griffin, Mike Klaus, Tim Connolly, Stat St. Floor, Josh Wu, Kyle Serra, Travis Everly, Gordon Pepper. We raised, as of now, about $6,700 for children's hospitals all over the country. And the donations will still be going on through the rest of the year, so we'd like to make it seven if possible. That would be homegameenterprises.com/throwdown. There's a donate now link. I have a specific link that you can donate money through there. Brian, anything to add besides your normal plugs about that?
Just the fact that it was my second year in a row and I'm looking to three-peat next summer. And it was an honor and a privilege to finally meet you, Jason.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Okay. I'm going to throw this out there. I am a question mark for this show, but for this upcoming wrestling event, I will not be on NAWC next week because of Gen Con. I have 100,000 other things to deal with than having my headset on. But if you happen to be in the Twin Cities area and feel like going for a little bit of a drive, Saturday, August 12th, AWF Battle at the Body will be presented. It's at the Body Strength Training Shed, which I believe is their training facilities in Kimball, Minnesota, which is a little closer to St. Cloud, Minnesota than it is to Minneapolis. It's about an hour drive. Bell time is Where is that? Bell time, I believe. Yeah, bell time's at 5 p.m. Given my current schedule, I am a question mark at this point. I am checking to see if they need me. I would like to be there for sure. But yes, starting August 16th through the 21st, I will be in Indianapolis for the 50th anniversary of Gen Con. For anybody who has ever played a card game, a role-playing game, a board game, you've LARPed, you've gone to a Ren Fair, anything involved with fantasy, science fiction, and comics, and wrestling. This is Mecca. This is the. This convention has been around longer than anybody on this panel has been on the planet.
Close.
Admitted.
Close.
But knowing that I had seen an ad for this convention as far back as 1981, attending my first one in 1997, and coming home with a copy of A Dungeon by Ed Grinwood, coming home with a first edition Gil Hibben Dragon Dagger. Well, I had to ship it. Even before 9/11, they were kind of touchy about stuff like that. For to 2005, spending a day there, even if it was just to shake hands with Zenmeister, to what I've been doing for the last decade or so, when I go attending with the Dice Collector, DiceCollector.com. If you want to see the Guinness World Record largest collection of unduplicated dice, and growing, because this will be the majority of my attendance at Gen Con, will be assisting him in getting more dice for his collection, and maybe a few for my own. So to all of our fans, and to those who listen to this podcast, if you are in Indianapolis and you happen to find your way into Gen Con, you get to play Where's Nikki? I will be incognito, but the easiest way to find me is the hat. Just look for the 4-star hat, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. When you see it, come up and shake my hand. Say, hi, Nikki. Love your show. I'd love to hear that at least twice. So that should about do it. So for VRM, for Chair Swing and Brian Henniger, for Jason Block, who's almost always here, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Yes, I won't be here next week, but please show up anyway. We might have something for you to do. Like listen to more wrestling news and get your pick'ems in for SummerSlam. So till then, have a good day.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.